Thanks. I'll be talking about the trends in methicillin-resistant staph infections in the Washington State workers' comp system. We have no personal financial relationships with commercial interest. We started this project when a neighbor who's a nurse in a local hospital developed a fairly severe MRSA infection, probably as a result of exposure at work. And when we looked at the literature at the time, we saw the trends in hospitalized patients and trends in skin and soft tissue infections treated in an ER, but there was very little about risk or trends in MRSA infections in healthcare workers or in other workers. Now, as we've seen nationally, there has been an increase in the skin and soft tissue infections, and about 60% of these infections are MRSA cases. In two recent samples of healthcare workers, between 4 and 15% of workers were MRSA carriers, compared to 1 to 2% of the general population. And occupations that may be at high risk due to exposures at work include healthcare workers, first responders, police, fire, EMTs, and those working in correctional facilities. So our goals were to look at the trends in MRSA claims or potential MRSA claims overall to see what percent were employed in the high-risk occupations and to look at medical records and determine what percent had a MRSA diagnosis. Our data is coming from the Department of Labor and Industries, which is the Washington Workers' Compensation System. Labor and Industries insures about two-thirds of the workers in the state, which is about 2.5 million workers per year. They file about 120,000 claims per year. And it's one of the few workers' comp systems that has the ability to link the injury, medical, and disability data. We use three methods to identify possible cases. The first two are using information that's coded at the time a claim is filed. We first identified all skin conditions and then specifically the skin infections. We also identified all bug bites because many community-acquired MRSA patients report a spider bite. And then our third method, we use the supplemental V09 codes indicating a drug-resistant infection, and we selected all cases who had at least one medical bill with a V09 code. We identified over 2,600 skin infections, over 5,600 bug bites, and 477 cases with the V09 codes. We conducted a medical record review to get information about the original diagnosis, the work setting, whether the wound was cultured, and whether the results were in the record, what treatment they received, whether the patient was hospitalized, and whether they had any risk factors such as a recent surgery or hospitalization, dialysis, or a family member with MRSA. We reviewed samples from skin infections, bug bites, and the V09 cases. And then we also reviewed cases within specific occupations. We looked at firefighters, workers in correctional facilities, and nurses' aides. As part of the medical record review, we wanted to determine if there was a diagnosis of MRSA in the charts. We coded cases that had a provider diagnosis or had positive lab results, or both, as a probable case. And then for cases that didn't have a provider diagnosis or lab results in the charts, but they had antibiotics that were typically used to treat MRSA, we coded them as a possible case. This figure shows the number of claims for skin conditions that were filed each quarter over the last 10 years. There's a slight increase in 2002, 2003, and then a much larger increase beginning in 2004. When we look specifically at the skin infections, there were very few cases filed before 2004, and then between 100 and 200 cases per quarter after that. Since these are workers' compensation claims, I expected to see a fairly large number of cases coming in the occupations that may be considered high risk. But as you can see, almost 70% of the cases are in construction, transportation, landscaping, farming, plumbing, and we had 4% in healthcare, 2% in police, fire, and corrections. When we reviewed a sample of medical records for the skin infection cases, about half of them had a culture documented in the record, and about half of these actually had the lab results in the record. 21% of the cases were hospitalized. In this small sample, 11% were healthcare workers or first responders, 5% had a prior MRSA infection, and none of these cases had other known risk factors for MRSA, no hospitalizations or family members with MRSA that was reported in the charts. 37% of the skin infections had either a provider diagnosis or lab results indicating that it was a MRSA case, and 21% had antibiotics that were used to treat MRSA. One case was a methicillin-sensitive infection. And then of the 37% that are unknown or other, a fraction of them are likely to also have MRSA. Some of these cases are not cultured, and other cases are cultured, and the results never end up in the record. We also looked at specific occupations. We selected all of the cases in firefighters, corrections, and nurses, and then a sample of the nurses' aides. Firefighters have been very concerned about the risk of MRSA, but we only found 5 possible cases in the skin infections, and only 2 of these were confirmed to have MRSA. Among correctional workers, there were 6 cases. One was a staph infection, but none of the records had any indication of MRSA. A higher percent of the registered nurses did have MRSA confirmed in the charts. These cases tended to be a little more severe. They and we're more likely to have recurrent cases. This figure shows the number of bug bites filed each month over the last 10 years, a nice seasonal pattern with peaks in the late summer months. There's a clear increase starting a little earlier than skin infections, but it's unclear what percent of this increase might actually be due to MRSA. In the workers' compensation system, the nature of injury and source of injury are coded at the time a claim is filed. The nature of injury codes a bite, an animal or insect bite, and the source of injury indicates whether the bite is animal, human, or insect. And unfortunately, we can't separate bees and spider bites with this coding. We have tried to exclude the bee sting cases using another description of injury, and we've only had mixed success doing that. So when we reviewed the bug bite cases, 2/3 of them are bee stings. We had one case that was confirmed to have MRSA, and we had 3 cases that reported spider bites. All of these cases were minor and were not treated with antibiotics or any other treatments. Then we looked at a small sample where we tried to exclude the bee stings. These were primarily spider bites, but we still had a few bee stings in there. We had 1 case that was confirmed to have MRSA and 2 possible cases. This figure shows the number of claims that are submitted that have at least 1 medical bill with the V09 code for a drug-resistant infection. This also shows an increase in 2004, but in this case, we're only getting between 20 and 30 cases per quarter. When we reviewed these cases, 92% had a culture documented in the records, and these tended to be more severe cases than what we were seeing in the skin infections. 54% were hospitalized, 15 to 20% had a prior MRSA infection, 8% had a family member with MRSA, 15% had diabetes, 8 had a recent hospitalization. And virtually all of these cases are MRSA cases. 86% were confirmed to have MRSA when we looked at the medical record. One was a methicillin-sensitive case, although based on the length of treatment and how they were ultimately treated, it looked like it was a MRSA case. And one case was miscoded. Most of these cases came into the workers' comp system as a cellulitis or infected wound. But about a quarter were acquired while they were being treated for another injury. We have a number of surveillance and policy challenges looking at MRSA within the workers' comp system. We had a very small number of cases in the high-risk occupations. We had hoped to calculate risk and trends over time in these occupations, but the numbers are just too small at this point. There also appears to be some underreporting among healthcare workers, which may contribute to our small number of claims there. There are also some issues about how the workers' comp system and employers should handle some of these claims. There was one nurse who was clearly exposed to MRSA at work, but her employer protested the claim because she had been gardening a few weeks earlier, had been pruning roses, and so the employer said that she was injured at home. It was eventually allowed, but she did have a hard time getting that claim allowed. Other cases, there was one case we reviewed where the worker had a tattoo that became infected. 2 weeks later, they had a minor scrape at work that also became infected, and that claim was allowed right away. I also want to mention the prescription benefits and talk about one case as an example. We reviewed a case where a worker was seen in an ER one night, went out at 9:30 or 10 at night to fill three prescriptions that they received in the ER. The pharmacy told them they couldn't fill it until the claim was allowed. So they were concerned that, the pharmacy was concerned they wouldn't get paid for the antibiotics if the claim hadn't been allowed. The patient went home, went out again the next day to a different pharmacy where they got the same story. Now, typically it takes about a week for a claim to even get to the labor and industries, a week to be submitted, another week to be accepted. The family couldn't afford to pay for three prescriptions out of pocket, so they randomly picked one. But the patient ended up back in the ER that night and was admitted for inpatient treatment. The doctor wrote a fairly long editorial in the record about the failure of the system in multiple ways. Labor and Industries has always had a policy of paying for the first medical bill even when a claim is not allowed. Even rejected claims have their first medical bill allowed. That wasn't the case with pharmacy. So a patient can pay out of pocket and then be reimbursed if the claim is allowed, but if it wasn't allowed, you know, the pharmacy wouldn't have been reimbursed or the patient wouldn't have been reimbursed. Fortunately, after we saw this case, we contacted Labor and Industries about it. They had changed their policy last year so that they now pay for prescriptions coming out of the first medical visit, whether or not the claim is allowed. And I'll quickly summarize. Like the national data, we're seeing increases in skin infections and in drug-resistant infections. Our numbers were probably a little later than some of the national data. And even though a large percentage of these claims are diagnosed with MRSA, only 3% of the skin infections had one of the V09 codes for a drug-resistant infection. We see an increase in bug bites, but it's difficult to sort those cases out. And we're also seeing the increase in V09 codes. But in, at least in our system, this code is not used as often as it could be, and it's clearly underestimating the number of MRSA claims in the system. Thanks.